Welcome to the 19th SNI and SNI Digital Baghdad Neurosurgery online meeting, held October 23rd, 2022. The introduction will be the meeting originator and coordinator, Samer Haz, from the Universities of Baghdad and Cincinnati. The speaker will discuss my pathway in neurosurgery from Iraq. The speaker is Mustafa A. Muriati, medical student, University of Baghdad College of Medicine, Baghdad, Iraq. The lecture and discussion is 17 minutes.
Thank you, Noor. Now we have Mustafa Ayad Al Muriati. Mustafa, are you ready?
Yes. Yes,
Dr. Yeah. So Mustafa is the sixth grade medical student in University of Baghdad College of Medicine. I don't know what he will share, but he will share his experience. That's our deal. And let's see. The stage is yours, Mustafa. And yeah, introduce yourself. Okay. And please. Okay, it's well shared.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Haz, for the introduction. So hello, professors. Hello, everyone. I'm Mustafa Muriati, a sixth year and the final year medical student at University of Baghdad College of Medicine. Today, I'm really honored to give this presentation in the SNI Baghdad Neurosurgical Meeting. And in this presentation, I will talk about my pathway in neurosurgery as an experience from Iraq. So before me starting my presentation and talking about myself, my pathway in neurosurgery, let's review together the arterial supply of the brain by simple illustrations that I made using the PowerPoint designing tools to make simplified ideas to reach. From the very basic anatomy, we got the blood from the heart, we have the aortic arch, we have on the right side the brachiocephalic trunk. We have two subclavian arteries, two common carotid arteries bifurcate into the internal carotid arteries, which runs inside the skull to supply the brain and the eye. And we have two external carotid arteries, which runs outside the skull to supply the head and neck structures. And here we have the anterior contribution from the ICA, the circle of Willis, into two middle cerebral arteries and two anterior cerebral arteries. That was regarding the anterior circulation. Regarding the posterior circulation, we have two vertebral arteries arising from the two subclavian arteries. They unite in front of the bones to form the basilar artery, which contributes to the two posterior cerebral arteries. So that was the basic anatomy to the supply from the heart to the brain. Now let's focus, get another view on the right side. We will talk more about the external carotid artery. We have the brachiocephalic trunk, the common carotid. This is the ECA with its two terminal divisions into the maxillary artery, which runs deep in the face, and the superficial temporal artery with its two terminal divisions, the frontal division or branch and the parietal division or branch. And here we can notice the close proximity and appreciate that proximity of the MCA, which is a branch of ICA, and the STA, which is a branch of the ECA. So let's dive more deep into a more complicated or advanced topic in neurosurgery, which is the cerebral revascularization. So let's imagine, for example, we have a pathology on the right side here. This is the ICA, for example, a tumor or aneurysm after clipping or anything obstructing the blood flow distally. So instead of having the blood flows like this in the yellow arrows, we can benefit from the flow into from the ECA, the superficial temporal artery, and for example, directly suture the STA into the MCA, that's extracranial intracranial bypass, to shunt the blood to areas distal to the non-functioning or obstructed ICA, for example, this. Here's another illustration, example in the cerebral aneurysm. This is the aneurysm after clipping proximally and distally. So how can the blood flows distally? Instead of the red arrows, we can make an artificial pathway, which is either a radial artery graft or a saphenous vein graft, for example, to shunt the blood distally to revascularize the area. So this is the principle of the bypass in a simplified way. I started studying the advanced neurosurgical anatomy, I studied the second chapter, which is the supratentorial arteries and the rotor cranial anatomy and surgical approaches. I studied the basic principles of arterial supply of the brain, supratentorial arteries, their courses, their branches, divisions. There are even little details about them. I also skimmed through the seven bypasses by Michael Lauten and the Color Atlas of Cerebral Revascularization by Dr. Robert Spisler. I didn't just read, for example, Roton microsurgical anatomy. I did my own summary by handwriting on a paper with a pencil. I summarized the whole chapter in about 100 paper and make them as a bullet points and highlight some of the things that I may review later, later as a high yield points for me. After that, I integrated that theoretical knowledge I gained through studying and applied it to a real surgical procedure in a neurosurgical teaching hospital in Baghdad. The patient was a young age female presented with multiple attacks of strokes. She was diagnosed as having Moyamoya disease. So the decision here was to make a bypass. And here are some of the CT imaging, angiography, and here is the intraoperative images on the monitor that was put outside the surgical operation room on the lobby so that the students and residents can observe the surgery step by step, how to bypass, doing the bypass. And here's a picture of us. This is me, Samer Hose, and other colleagues also during the surgery. Well, after that, all this integrated together, I gained my knowledge. I saw a surgery. I gained the theoretical knowledge. I did a live webinar on neurosurgical TV, and that was my really first like webinar, live webinar being recorded in public as an international level. It was the last day in 2022, the 31st December. Its topics was cerebral revascularization, extracranial, intracranial, and intracranial, intracranial bypasses. So now let's get started to my journey. How I start, it started in 2019 when I met Dr. Samer Hose. It was a great chance and a great honor to meet him. He offered a special interest in teaching us. He make us dive through the neurosurgical field, expose us to neurosurgery in more details, especially in our country. And then I attended the fifth mentorship program. It was held also in Baghdad in a neurosurgical teaching hospital in 2019, 2022. And here is me holding the cadaveric sheep head after doing a craniotomy procedure, which I'll show the steps later. Here are my colleagues also in that mentorship. And during that mentorship, I really gave my first oral presentation in public. I was just about the third grade. I just finished the neuroanatomy. It was a really not good experience at all. Okay, here's the Hose lab sayings that more lab simulation, less brain complications. One of the things we really, which was really, we practiced and which was really interesting for us, doing simple procedures, simulating a real OR on simple stuff like egg. Here we are drilling eggshell without penetrating it, without perforating it, as simulation to how delicate can we go without hitting the vital structures such as the brain in the OR. And here's me drawing or drilling my name on the eggshell. Here's also me drilling on a real bone, a cadaveric bone of a sheep using this surgical loop. And here are some of the steps to doing a cadaveric craniotomy procedure on sheep heads, extracting the brain with its intact dura mater. So there was a mission that you should not hit the dura while even in the animal. Mm. Okay, and then the dura was cut open and this is the brain is looked underneath. Integrated all that surgical skills, practical skills. I went to the OR and the first case I watched, it was an emergency case, patient present with a RTA, road traffic accident. He had an extradural hematoma after doing craniotomy, which I experienced on a cadaveric sheep. I saw an observed surgeon doing it on a real human and evacuation of extradural hematoma. And this was my first time seeing a pulse-style brain, a real human. I had also the chance and opportunity to be part of the global training project that held in also Baghdad in Neurosurgical Teaching Hospital 2021 by Upsurgeon Psychomotor Skill Training. They provided us with multiple samples that simulate the real brain approaches. So for example, here is the trigeminal approach. This is the frontal lobe, the parietal lobe. This is the temporal lobe. This is the Sylvian fissure. So it's really simulates real human brain. And we practiced many things on it. For example, here's me under the microscope approaching the trigeminal approach and also endoscopic approach in the CSF area underneath the brain. One of the things I really appreciated during my journey is that neurosurgeon tool is the radiology, that the CT scan, MRI, radiography, and even catheter angiography all are needed to be well interpreted to make a decision. So I really developed my skills in reading CT scans, native CT scans, contrast CT scan, MRI, catheter angiography, MRI, MRV, and It was a really good appreciation that how a neurosurgeon needs this tool. Here are some pictures of me assisting in real operation and getting close to a neurosurgery procedure that's real after me scrubbing in and sometimes assisting. I practiced before that suturing at home. I did my first sutures, some of which are very bad, some of which are improved over time. And I also used the surgical loop doing a micro suturing using a very thin suture material. Teamwork also one of the most important things I really appreciated and noticed. And it was really a thing that I cannot describe by words. It's just like a family. We all have each other's back. We support each other. There is no superiority even between the doctors, between the professors. They deal with each other. They work in harmony in the OR. Everyone knows the other's step. They are well prepared. For example, in the OR, even the assistant, the scrub nurse, they know these steps. They are prepared, the tools, and they work in harmony. Even with my colleagues during the mentorship program, the teamwork was really an essential thing. I appreciated. I think no achievement would have been accomplished without that teamwork. Even just a word, maybe a support, that would be enough. Also, rapport and building a relationship with patient, between doctor and patient relationship, was really think that Dr. Sammer raised us ethically about it. And also rapport with my colleagues and friends was really essential. I also have the great chance to be a course coordinator of the Sixth Iraqi Neurosurgery Mentorship Program. It was held in 2020 in Neurosurgical Teaching Hospital, Baghdad. Well, about the conferences I attended, there are actually two conferences. The first one held in Dubai in 2019. It was the 7th Emirate International Neurosurgical Conference. It was me first time going outside the country for a scientific thing like a conference. I was just an attendant. I listened to international level neurosurgeons presenting their work, presenting their presentations, their case reports, for example, or their papers, published papers. And I was really fascinated about the international level of neurosurgeons. And then in 2022, I attended the first Pan-Arab Neurosurgical Dandy meeting. It was held in Beirut. And here is me with my colleagues as an Iraqi delegate. This time, I was not only an attendant for the conference. I did an oral presentation, which was the first time for me doing a real oral presentation at the American University of Beirut. The topic was the control over superior sagittal sinus injury due to metallic ceiling fan blade injury. And there was a top five student presentation get a prize, and I got the second place with a 17 vote. And the first one was Zahra Majid, which is my colleague also from Iraq. She took the first prize, which I'm really proud of as both of us from Iraq. And we achieved the first and the second place. That was an international conference. Me about in medical school, we take neuro in general, like neurology, neurosurgery, neuroscience, basics, and two modules. In the second year, we have the basic neuroscience, including anatomy, physiology, histology, embryology, etc., that basic science. I took a very good credit at it, about 85%. And the advanced neuroscience in the fifth grade, including neurology, neurosurgery, and neuroradiology, I get an excellent score at it, which was I'm really proud of. So one of the things I really like as my hobby is medical education. I really love teaching. I love exporting my knowledge. So my academic experience, I have many courses, including infectious disease course, acid-base disorders, cardiology courses, fluid electrolytes, the vascular supply of the brain, which is really important to be highlighted here, and the cerebral revascularization. I have more than 70 hours of medical education, whether recorded videos, online, live meetings, etc. About my clinical experience in neurosurgery, I have attended more than 15 operations, different from brain tumors, spine surgeries, arteriovenous malformation, and generally the neurovascular procedures. And I attended two procedures of Gamma Knife, and I have more than 7 calls of endovascular unit. And I attended more than 6 calls in the emergency room, and also more than 5 calls in the intensive care unit, where we had the chance to practice examination and follow-up of patients who are really comatose. For example, we check their Glasgow Coma Scale, we check their vitals regularly, and how we take care of such patients. One of the things I really understand lately is the exportation concept. After me getting all the knowledge I talked about previously in this presentation, me studying books, attending operations, go to conferences, gathering all the knowledge for myself, there is a concept of exportation, how I export my knowledge. There are many different ways I did that. For example, I have a ResearchGate account and I have a YouTube channel with many playlists, illustrating playlists. One of the playlists is it's termed as the second chapter of Proton, the supratentorial artery series. I talk briefly about each of the vessels, the ICA, the MCA, ACA, PCA, and communicating arteries, and the cerebral angiography also, in a few minutes, demonstrating the basic levels. I have participated in 2 books as a chapter author, The Pineal Neurosurgery and The Neurotrauma in Multiple Choice Questions. I have also assisted in 3 published articles and contributed to them. The first one is the intracisternal papaverine toxicity in anterior circulation aneurysmic clipping surgery. It was a literature review. It was published in the Romanian Neurosurgery in 2020. And the second one was a superior surgical control of a superior sagittal sinus injury due to metallic ceiling fan blade injury, which I presented in Beirut in the oral presentation. It was published in the Mustansoria Medical Journal, and the later one, it was the letter to editor, the cadaver-free simulation training in micro neurosurgery and experience from Iraq, as I showed you the cadaveric experience at the beginning of the presentation. It was also published in, it was published in 2021 in the World Neurosurgery Journal. Last but not least, there are many attendance of scientific activities. I started it during my med school, started from maybe the first year. I attended some workshops, but the real work started in neurosurgery since I began and find my interest since 2019. You can notice here, I want to highlight that every year there is a new accomplishment, new achievement, new attendance of scientific activity. For example, 2019, 2020, 2021. 2022, and hopefully 2023, there would be a new attendance of scientific activity. So how do I see neurosurgery in general? Well, I see a neurosurgeon just like a goalkeeper in the penalty shot, that everyone knows that it would be a goal, but if the goalkeeper catches it and saves the goal, he will be the hero in the story. So that's just my imagination about how I see it. My current position, I am the president of the Walter E. Dante Neurosurgical Club Iraq, and I was one of the founding members and chief scientific officer of that club. Last but not least, I want to thank Dr. Samer Hose for all the support, and he really raised me scientifically in neurosurgery and ethically how to deal with patients and colleagues. His enormous support. And this is me, picture with Dr. Samer Hose after giving me some bruises on the shoulder so that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And thank you all for your listening. I hope you enjoyed my presentation.
Yes, we did. It was very good.
I enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mustafa. I think I should highlight that Mustafa ranked now in the first positions, like grade-wise in the medical college. And this is new for the Iraqi neurosurgery that people who were in the have the highest grade in the medical college thinking of neurosurgery. This is not a common trend. Usually, if you have a very good marks in the medical college, you are you can choose any branch, okay? And this is like a different setting than US. In US, it's the opposite. In US, if you want to neurosurgery, you should have very high marks. In Iraq, at least, it's completely the opposite. You don't need any marks if you want to go to neurosurgery because the people not interested in neurosurgery. Usually people with high grade go to branches like, I don't know, ophthalmology, urology, radiology, that's the branches. And people with the lowest scores, like me, go to the neurosurgery. So I think Ali Mohammed, he's one of the first, just graduated. He's one of our team. Aktham is one of our team, one of the highest score all over Iraq. Mustafa Ismail is also one of the highest score on graduation. And now we have Mustafa Ayad. I think he's the first in the score now in the Baghdad College of Medicine. So this is very new culture, very new concept. And I think they will inspire the next generation. We don't know people with high score in neurosurgery yet. They will be the first with high score to enter neurosurgery in Iraq. That's one point to say, because this is related to the background. And what you give today, Mustafa, I like it. And I think this is like a roadmap for many people on how to do things in the right way and how to make the most of everything. I think it's very good. If we combined all what you say with you being one of the highest score in the college already, I think this is a very, very nice model for people. And this is number one. Number two, something I should share here, that when we do the CTA thing, when you say about the CTA thing, do you remember the resident in Iraq when you are there? So can you share this?
My experience when there were residents in the hospital and you examined them about the radiological, in the skill lab, you took them over lab, you asked them many questions about the images, and they were really confused about them, even the basic things. And then you asked me later after them and tell me, what's this, for example, to spot diagnose, for example. I answered you, some of these slides, I really haven't seen them before. It was my first time. But I got them, I could get them correct. And then you tell the resident that I'm a resident too, but at the end, you surprised them that I was just a third year medical student, having a knowledge in their radiological skills.
Yeah, so
it was really a moment of pride.
So when we are teaching the new interns about the neuroradiology, I usually invite Mustafa to be there in the back, and people thinking through his answers, like he's maybe a senior resident. And at the end, they discover that he is a third year medical student. And it's a nice experience when he's proud of himself. We are all proud of him. And it's a huge message about focusing. I think you share with us the vascular thing that you already interested in before me. And I think, I should congratulate you for your achievement till now. And we will wait you after graduation to come back again and work with the team more thoroughly. Thank you, Mustafa. Ahmed, yes?
Hello. Actually, Mustafa is one of my best friends, and I didn't know about his achievement until now, and I'm very amazed by him. I'm really proud. He didn't tell me many of his achievements. I knew it here, and I'm really amazed, and I'm congratulating him.
Because he's very shy. That's the point. He's very, very shy. He killed me with shyness. Yes, Dr. Lazar.
I congratulate Mustafa as well. Very good the presentation. And I will say, taking something of your last slide, of your slide of the penalty kick. By the way, my team in Argentina is River Plate. And the player who is kicking that penalty kick is from River. So that I will forget that. Right. It's River. That's River. That's the stadium, Monumental. And I don't know who is the guy who had the lack of stopping that at the penalty kick. But now, being serious in the analogy is this: we talk about ACA aneurysm, or we talk about whatever the pathology. And I think that it's worth studying who is the patient who has an ACA aneurysm or a middle cerebral artery aneurysm, or what we know about the patient who has the syringomyelia. What do we know about patients who have syringomyelia? Not what do we know about this a specific individual who happens to be the father of three children. No. What's the understanding of what happens, how the patients with ACA presents? And this goes again to your analogy of the goalkeeper. In the World Cup in 2006 in Germany, Argentina and Germany tied 1-1. And they went to the penalty kicks. And the penalty kicks, Germany beat Argentina. And of course, was a Pyrrhic victory because Italy was waiting for them, and Italy would have beaten any of them. Italy won the championship that year. But the point is, the Argentinian goalkeeper was very good, was a very good neurosurgeon. The German goalkeeper also was very good, was a very good neurosurgeon. But why Germany beat Argentina is because they studied the Argentinian players, and they knew beforehand to which side they will kick. So they knew that Ortega kicks to the right. So before Ortega started running, the German goalkeeper was leaning to the right, or to the right. I mean, we are on the other side, no? What I mean with this is, it is important to study, say, okay, I have had a patient who has an aneurysm of ACA. I'm not a vascular surgeon. I don't know very much about those things. But, okay, what else do we know about what happens to those patients? What other information we can collect? And that information is there in your medical records, in the medical records of your hospital. Anybody can go and see, anybody, I mean, I am inspiring, if possible. You go and look, I mean, patients with ACA aneurysm, what happened to them after? How did they present? When was the time of the presentation between the treatment were 24 hours, 72 hours, 7 weeks? What do we know? So this goes again to your wonderful, Mustafa, and wonderful presentation, and use that slide, which is very good. I mean, nobody knows it was River. I know it was River, but because that's my thing. But The point is, again, the good goalkeeper, as the good neurosurgeon, he doesn't stand in front of the kicker and says, okay, let's see what happens, no? And I go to the left and I was lucky. I go to the right, I was lucky. No, that the good goalkeeper knows, okay, this guy has an ACA artery aneurysm. I have to be very, very careful because in the post-op in day 7, they develop diabetes insipidus. For example, that is the possibility. So what can we know about the patients per se, of the biology of the patient based on the disease, no? I said that.
Okay, Professor, thank you very much.
No, thank you, Mustafa.
Thank you. Thank you, Mustafa.
Hope you enjoy these presentations. The information provided in this program is for informational purposes and is not intended for use as diagnosis or treatment of a health problem or as a substitute for consulting a licensed medical profession. Please fill out your evaluation of this video to attain CME credit. This recorded session is available free on snidigital.org. Send your questions or comments to ausman@snidigital.org. This program has been supported by the James I. and Carolyn R. Ausman Educational Foundation, owner of SNI and SNI Digital, and the Waymaster Corporation, producers of the Leading Gen television series, Silent Majority Speaks and Role Models, and the new Medical News Network. Thank you.